Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast,
the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing
the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Yabba dabba dabba do. It's Sam Crowley, host of the Every Day Saturday podcast. Every single day, we bring it the best in inspiration, motivation, entrepreneurial success tips, talking about life, talking about money. I think we hit all of the third rails. If there's another rail that I haven't hit, religion, sex, politics, money, all of that, let me know, because I think I hit them all pretty regularly. Might even hit them all on today's show. You never know. It's great to have everybody back. It is Thursday, June 12th, 2014. And, wow, lots going on, man. A lot going on. Before I get any further into the show, if you're a first-time listener, great to have you. You've plugged in, like I said, to the number one motivational podcast on planet Earth. Go over to iTunes. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. And if you haven't left a five-star rating, please do so. It helps other people find the show. I'm going to read the latest one that just came in. Really nice people. See, I believe there's good people. I believe people are good. I really believe that people, for the most part, are good. You know, they may have a bad day. They might have caught a bad card in the whole deck, you know, that got dealt to them. But by and large, if you were to get one-on-one with an individual in a room without any other distractions, without any other people, without any other things going on, I think you genuinely find that people, at least it's the way I feel, people are good people. You know, whenever I get somebody one-on-one, and this happened a lot, I mean, God, you can go all the way back to what, grade school, high school? I mean, you get the cliques and you get people that ego gets involved. Guys, you got that testosterone flowing, you know, and can't back down. I never back down for a fight. You know, I never back down for a fight. Yeah, you're an idiot. Okay, you're an idiot. When you get older and you start having kids and you relax a little bit and you realize you're getting closer to death than you were to birth, that crap doesn't matter anymore. And you actually become a hell of a lot more successful, too, when you don't sweat the small stuff. Because we all know successful people do not major in minor things. So if you ever want to work something out, you ever want to feel better about somebody, you know, just get them one-on-one, because, you know, when you get the internet muscles go away, too. You know, people on Facebook and they're in forums and the blind bloggers, and I don't mean literally they can't see. I mean, they're hiding behind a fake avatar or screen name. They got those internet muscles, you know? It's kind of like that guy at the bar at 2 in the morning, and he's on his 15th beer, and he's got the beer muscles working, wants to fight everybody there. Get him one-on-one, sober, not so much, you know? So find the good in people. Find them working one-on-one. This wasn't even part of the message today, but it just kind of hit me when I was talking about leave a rating on iTunes and we're hitting all the different rails and things like that. We try to keep it real, man. We keep it authentic. And if you want to do well in business as well, that as well as relationships, talk to people one-on-one. Pick up the telephone. Oh, my God. Have we lost the ability to actually communicate in this generation? I mean, I hate to sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but I pick up the phone. When I've got something that I got to say, I pick up the telephone. The only time I ever send an email is when I want there to be a paper trail of it, you know, communicating with banks or lawyers or, you know, any type of dispute. Even with disputes, I pick up the phone, but I put my concern or my answer to their concern in writing. So there's a paper trail, you know, who I spoke to, just things like that. But boy, you want to solve a problem quickly. Pick up the telephone and call the person. And if you don't feel comfortable, then get comfortable doing it. I can't even tell you. I just had that happen to me today. I got a nasty gram from a vendor who is saying that they didn't receive a certain amount of funds for a product or service that they delivered, when in fact I had actually made good on that a while back. So I just picked up the phone. You know, it was a nasty letter followed by an email, and you know, they had the internet muscles working. Let me tell you something. You pick up the phone. Hey, Joe, Sam Crowley, I got your I got your love letter the other day. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Or there'll be a, yeah, yeah. And look, the guard goes down eventually. It has to, you know. And when if you really want to make good and you really want to get into business and do things much more quickly, just fall on the sword yourself, you know. Hey, my bad. Yeah. I got to get better at that. You know, even if they're 100% wrong, I got to do a better job communicating that. I had that happen with a good buddy of mine a long time ago. You know, called me up, all shades of mad at me. You know, we did business together and blah, blah, blah. Misunderstood something I had said to another person. He wasn't even in the same room when it was said. He called me up all fired up and was wrong on 99% of the message that he thought he got from the person. It's just stupid on so many levels. You know what I did? Took 100% of the responsibility. Didn't I said, you know, buddy, must have been difficult to make that phone call, seeing as how we're friends and all. We've been good friends for so long. Oh, yeah, it was. You know, wasn't easy, Sam. Wasn't easy. I'm like, yeah, I understand. It's my bad, man. I didn't mean to put you in that position, you know, but, oh, hey, it's okay. The time we hung, I mean, we were like bromancing over the phone, you know. So fall on the sword. Put the pride to the side. And get relationships moving in the right direction, business, personal, otherwise. Just pick up the phone and call people. I mean, I'm just amazed. People communicate. The text is even better. Oh, my God. Text messaging. People texting back, fighting via text, trying to make their point. Are you kidding me? Pick up the phone. So, hey, lots going on at the Crowley House. If you follow me on Facebook.com/Sam Crowley, you saw that I posted a picture of my beautiful bride, Angela, yesterday, who is 16 weeks pregnant. Actually, 15 weeks, a couple of days ago. Yes, we are expecting our fourth child. Our youngest is eight. Laura's nine. Paige's eight. I better get these names and ages and everything straight. I'll be 46 years old in a couple of weeks. Angela's 44 years old. So I guess she'd be technically considered high risk. That's why we waited till she was almost, past her first trimester, at least, before we told anybody. And now, hey, you know, 15 weeks going on, 16 weeks. We're excited. We're 4 weeks away from finding out. She's going to find out. I'm not so sure I'm going to find out if it's going to be a boy or a girl. Got our 20-week sonogram coming up in the middle of July. Is it a mistake? Jeez, I don't know. I mean, that's what I had to try to tell to my kids, you know. It was an immaculate conception, girls. Yeah, absolutely, because we got a 13-year-old, all right, a 9-year-old, an 8-year-old. And they go to school, and they know stuff and all that good stuff. So, you know, I'm praising it as an immaculate conception. Through the grace of God, we have been given another child. And through the real grace of God, it would be a boy. But come on, man. You got to at least let me say that much on the show. You know, at least let me dream a little bit. But the doctor said the odds are about 1,000,000 to 1 that I'm going to have a boy against me. Us. God, it's always about me. You know what I'm talking about? It's always about me having a boy. But as I was thinking about that, first of all, thank you for a ton. I mean, almost 300 likes and hundreds of comments on that photo yesterday. Appreciate the love, man. A little Twitter love coming our way as well today. And especially the podcast listeners, you guys rock. And it's just, you know, trying to show you what life's like as an entrepreneur. You know, if you, I told my wife the one good thing, because it was a surprise. I mean, let me just tell you. Between, you know, me and hundreds of thousands of subscribers out there, a little bit of a surprise. Yeah. But let me tell you, the one thing I told my wife back in April when we found out is that we're good at raising kids. I mean, we're not good at a lot of things, you know, and we just laugh about it. You know, we're not really good at a lot of things, but we've got three amazing girls. I mean, they're smart, they're funny, they're witty. They're intelligent. They're just giving people. Yeah, of course, their kids are snotty, too, to their parents. We get that. But you know what? I tell my wife also, I'd rather have my kids be, like, snotty towards us or talk back or get an attitude because, no. Girls? Teenage girls? There's drama? Really? No. So I'd rather have that happen in your own home and us just pull our hair out and feel like we want to hang ourselves versus them going to school and get a report back from the teacher or counselor or somebody like that, that yeah, your kid, it needs a lot of work. They got this, bad grades, attitude, all that stuff. So as long as it's in the order that it's in, where they're a challenge with us, and I'm painting just a horrible picture. My kids ever listen to this podcast are going to move out of the house, but I'm painting a horrible picture of my kids. But I am saying that if it were in reverse order and we were getting bad reports from school, then it'd be a different story. So I told my wife, hey, this is what we do best, man, raise kids. Like, seriously, we're not that couple that's going to or wants to get a condo on the beach in Florida and retire. I mean, the thought of retirement to me scares the hell out of me. I mean, I think of retirement as, all right, now you're on the backside of life. You're kind of easing up. You're slowing down, and you're going to kind of start taking your time. I don't want to do any of that. All those words, that none of those interest me. I want to speed up. I want to do more, you know? And here's another thing that I've been really introspective about. I just posted this on my Facebook page as well. Maybe you saw it, but I put down that the more money I make, the more I realize that it really has nothing to do with my joyfulness. You know, give me healthy kids and a close relationship with God, and I'm good. I'm good. You know, some people read that and be like, all right, man, fired up. That guy has his moral compass dialed in the right way. Other people are going to read it and be like, oh, just, you know, you obviously don't know what it feels like to make a lot of money. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what's a lot? 100 grand an hour? I've made that. You know, I don't know what. I don't even know how, like the old saying from Wall Street, the movie with Michael Douglas and Charlie Sheen, Gordon Gekko and Bud Fox. Great movie. One of my favorite movies of all time. How many yachts can you water ski behind? That's what Martin Sheen said to Bud Fox in the movie. And it's true. How many yachts can you water ski behind? I mean, I know so many depressed, 25 different prescription drugs, coloring their hair, getting their skin pulled tighter than a flipping penny, and teeth all white and chains on and as tan as George Hamilton. I mean, look like they've just been in a tanning bed for the last 10 years straight, and yet they're never happy. It appears as though they're just never going to, the happiness is going to elude them. And maybe, you know, I shouldn't say happiness is going to elude them, because as I talked about on a bunch of different podcasts, there is a difference between happiness and joyfulness. You know, you can be happy from having a great steak dinner or just a good night out on the town and make, you know, maybe you just had a big, big day at the office as well, making some money. And happy people have committed suicide that have been happy that day, you know, and killed themselves that night. Joyfulness is different. Joyfulness is a journey. And the more, you know, we think about having this fourth kid and now we're just praying that he's going to be healthy. You notice I say he. I just say he all the time now. I just say he, him. And, you know, now you just pray that the kid's going to be healthy. And I just went to, my kids are out of school today, so I took my daughter, Laura. We had to go get the cello. She started playing the cello, and which is a whole different ballgame, seeing your little girl trying to, you know, do that thing with the cello. It's hilarious. I have no musical talents at all. I don't know if you do, but none whatsoever in this guy. But just the whole day, you know, spending the time with the kids. And yeah, of course you need money. Some people are going to be looking, like I was saying before, some people are going to be thinking, oh, well, maybe you just never make enough money, so that's why you don't want. No, that's not true. No, I'm fine. I'm good. You know, I don't know if I made $1 million a month, I guess that'd be great, but I don't think my life would change. So I guess my question to you is, what would you do if you made $1 million a month? Would it change you? Would you be a different person? Because to whom much is given, much is expected. And trust me, I love money just as much as you love money. I don't worship money. You know, I let money work for me. I don't work for money, which was a big, major shift in my whole life that I had to figure out, like I talked about this week on the show, is the whole thought process of, you know, I'm going to give you an hour for my time, and for that hour, I want you to give me X amount of money, whether it's $20, $100, $200. I hate that. I don't ever want to be paid for an hour of my time. I want to be paid based on the value that I provide. And if it gets in the way of me having a good time with the short amount of time I have left on Earth, I still don't want to do it. I mean, if somebody said, hey, Sam, fly to California tomorrow and I'll give you 30 grand. I wouldn't do it. You know why? We're going to Kings Island tomorrow. And we're planning that we're packing up and we're going to New York State to our summer home there. And I just don't have any interest. I mean, yeah, 30 grand would be great, especially for just a day and to hang out. And I know a lot of people are like, dude, you're crazy. No, I wouldn't do it. It just have to work now. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I would have been on a plane doing a red eye, you know, and, you know, said goodbye to the family. Hey, guys, I'm going to make some money. I'll be back. But, you know, I came back. I went to Australia 3 years ago to speak at an event for 90 minutes. Now, people go to Australia. It takes 2 days to get there from the U.S., okay? and you lose a day. You're literally, you leave one day and you fly overnight and you're there 2 days later. You know, you actually lose a day based on how the clock goes. I came back after 3 days because the family was gone. I remember it. I left Sunday, got there Tuesday, stayed Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, left, and was back Friday night, and we went to the beach. We were living in Buffalo at the time. We went to Lake Erie Saturday morning. No, I had a little bit of jet lag. You don't fly to Australia for 3 days. But it's never been about the money since I started making it. That's the funny part. All I ever thought I ever wanted, like, give me a lot of money, I'll be happy. It's never been the case. It's never made me happy. Now, it makes me feel good to be able to pay my bills. All right, now let's not be stupid. All right, I'm not sitting here trying to take the whole other side that I want to go live in a hut someplace. But I'm telling you right now that your priorities will shift. You're going to make money, and I'm trying to help you out before you get to that point, because all of my students are going to be successful. You all are going to be successful when you figure out what it is that you really love to do, and you understand that there's a market there right now for you to do it, okay? And you also understand that you don't have to know everything there is to know to be able to do it, to be able to deliver it. Just charge a fee and move on. Go. Accept the fact you're the expert in that industry. But when you start making money, understand you cannot change, because if you start working for money, you're going to miss out on everything that life has to offer for you. You know, if you have kids, go take a ride with them tonight. Don't even go do anything. Just take a ride. You know, some of the best times are just listening to the kid in the back seat talking to you. Hey, Dad. Hey, Mom. You know, what? Just asking you questions about the trees, the leaves, the sun, the rain, anything, you know? The silliest questions. But you know what? You're going to ache for those moments. Ache. And those of you that have grown kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because it's starting to tug at me a little bit right now. That's why I pull back a little bit more each year. Don't travel as much. Don't speak as much. Don't chase down big projects as much anymore. I get hit every day with a JV opportunity, joint venture opportunity, product launch opportunity. And I'm sure other more successful marketers get hit 100 times more than I do. I'm just saying 5-10 years ago would have been a different story. I would have jumped through hoops to be able to do business with certain people out there. But let me tell you something. Let me give you a little bit of inside baseball, okay? I've met the people that you see online. I've met the people that you look up to, and I've met the people that you want to be like in business. And I'm telling you right now, like I started the show with, I believe everybody has the potential. And when you get them one-on-one, everybody you know that you've seen is a good person one-on-one. You get them in a group of other people, and there's egos involved and money involved and things like that. These aren't the individuals you want to emulate. And I'm not naming any names. I'm not even trying to create any drama. I'm just saying, think about it. You're smart. Right? You're a sharp person. Follow what it is that you really love to do, and don't lose sight of God, family, health, business. God, family, health, business. Whatever God you pray to, that's fine. I'm not here to convert you. I'm just saying get in touch with your creator, your family, your health, and your business. And you will have an amazing time going through the journey, man. I'm trying to stop time. That's what I'm literally trying to do. I'm trying to stop time. We all know how crazy that is. I mean, I can't believe in a couple weeks I'm going to be 46 years old. I mean, I remember when I was 40, I ran 10 miles and sat in a bathtub for like 4 hours after I did it because I couldn't believe I did it. But I was starting to like head down that midlife crisis road then. I just want stuff to keep getting so much more fun. I don't want to retire. So we're having another kid. And there you go. That'll keep me young, right? And hey, keep the good wishes coming. Also, make sure you head on over to iTunes, leave a 5-star rating. Hit me up on Twitter at Sam Crowley. And have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.